This is an audio roundtable discussion from the Center of Writing Studies. We are here to reflect upon our initial experiences at 4C's 2016 in Houston, Texas. My name is Logan Middleton. I'm a first-year master's student in writing studies at the University of Illinois.
And I'm Bruce Coven. I'm also a first-year master's student at the University of Illinois.
I'm Evan Groundwater. I'm a second-year PhD student at the University of Illinois in writing studies.
And my name is Maria Carvajal, and I'm a second-year MA also at U of I in writing studies.
So we thought we would start by just reflecting on our initial experiences for myself and Evan and Maria. This was our first time at C's, so we thought we would start there and just kind of let this conversation unfold organically. So what were your all's initial impressions of the conference?
I think for me, it was how big it was. It was just incredibly big and busy, and everybody was sort of running around, and which was to be expected. Like, I knew how big it was, but even when we got the conference program, you know, it's like a book, so everything from the beginning of the experience all the way until the end. But it was also really nice because that meant that there was a lot of variety in what people were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, the size was definitely sort of something that struck me. Just trying to navigate, like, what you were going to do and when and how, and figuring out when you were going to eat was a big deal for me. But yeah, I think just sort of prioritizing, am I going to do a panel now? Am I doing a workshop? You know, if there's multiple panels, which one am I going to go see? Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think to that point, right, like, how do you decide how you want to engage with this kind of, right, genre of the mega conference? Do you want to see scholars that you, whose work you're familiar with? Do you want to see people in your program? Do you want to see people who you might try to collaborate with? So the kind of different strategies for engaging, I think, are really complex and multifaceted. And it's not something I thought about when I went, right? It's just going to be like, see some stuff. And it's like, what kind of stuff? But I don't know, Bruce. I mean, you've been, you know what's up.
Yeah, so it was my third C's. Just as big as it's always been, it really is overwhelming. And I've always kind of thought of it as a time where it's both, like, exhilarating to be there among all these different scholars, all these people from all these different programs, doing all, like, really exciting stuff. But at the same time, it's also exhausting, where you have to decide, like, how many panels do I want to go to? Am I going to take a break for lunch? We're just going to have granola bars.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do for dinner? Where am I going? Like, what sort of plans do I want to make? And then having to make decisions about, out of, like, these 35 panels, which one am I going to go to? Which is always a really tough choice.
Yeah, I guess we should clarify. So Bruce and Logan were both there observing, and Evan and I both presented in different panels as individual presenters. So that also might change how we sort of experienced all of it.
Right.
I was on a panel called We're Not Colorblind, and mine was a Friday morning panel, and there was three of us presenting, and then mostly talked about, a couple of us talked about Spanglish, language diversity generally, and then also just sort of things that came out of it were kind of standard English, and then sort of like what we were doing as instructors to sort of make sure that our classes are as diverse and accommodating to that diversity, language diversity, as possible.
Yeah, so the title of my panel was Mass Education and Unbundled Access, MOOCs and the New BA. I was on that panel. Had David Fleming from UMass Amherst and Brian Henderson from Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville.
Oh, I didn't know he was so close. I didn't know he was in state.
Yeah, he was at SIU.
Okay.
I mean, he was right. He was talking about the Arizona State Global Freshman Program. So his sort of positionality, I don't think really came into the talk much. I guess it was kind of weird. We were all kind of talking about, like, things happening elsewhere rather than local, which is probably an interesting element of that panel. But we were also talking about, David Fleming was talking specifically about unbundled programs, which are programs that are moving away from the credit hour as a sort of standardization of time to graduate and mastery completion. Brian Henderson talked about specifically about the Global Freshman Academy, and then I spoke to the egalitarian rhetoric of MOOCs that get used in a variety of contexts, but especially by MOOC platforms like edX and Udacity and Coursera.
Mm-hmm. Shifting gears a bit, just wondering, or were there any particularly influential panels or things that you heard or saw that particularly made an impression? I mean, I guess we're now almost a month out from C's, so mm-hmm. things that maybe stuck with you or...
The first few panels I went to on Thursday were really good, and I really enjoyed them. I went to the A session, Developing Scholarly Momentum, Action Plans for Faculty, Graduate Students, and Their Mentors, which I felt would be sort of a strategic choice starting graduate school to attend a panel that talks about how do you write, how do you keep writing, and then how do you publish. And it was various students and professors talking about sort of a few different qualitative research studies they'd done with sort of like full professors in writing studies and how do they publish and different strategies that they use to write, even when they might have, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes in between things to do. How do you like turn that on and just write mm-hmm. for 5 minutes at a time, which is something I can't do. So usually it was kind of impressive to watch people like talk about how they do that all the time. And then the session after that was sort of a round table about cultural historical activity theory and writing studies research, which was particularly interesting being in that seminar right now with Paul Pryor to think through how other people are approaching chat and sort of like what the conversation about chat is.
First, I think I did C's kind of wrong, and then I had a weird sort of like network of like, I went to panels I felt obligated to go to, sometimes for colleagues, sometimes for mentors, sometimes for like former associates or something, which I think is a bad way to do it, because I think I just assumed like people would be hurt if they didn't see me in the audience, which is kind of like, there's a lot of hubris in that, like, they need me in the audience, so don't be like me in that regard. But also in that, I think there were panels I should have gone to just for like the panel itself was appealing and the topic, and it was like a potential site for networking. And so I worried people sort of would need me in their audience, which I think for very close colleagues, I would do that again. So like my cohort, the dual horde, if you will. But I think for other people, I went to Peter Mortensen's panel on Friday at 11 a.m., which was Revisiting, Recovering, and Revising Literacy. And Peter Mortensen's talk was really good. It was a clinic on like how to give a presentation without any sort of visual component. So he just straight up read, but it was really well organized. So now it sounds like I'm kind of gushing about Peter Mortensen. But
what about you, Maria? What are your...
Yeah, I was trying to think, and I think I was sort of with Evan on the whole, like, a panel that I was like, yeah, everything that came out of it. And I think that's just the nature of it, right? So you're interested in particular things, and mm-hmm. not everybody in that mm-hmm. panel necessarily is talking about the thing that you're interested in. But Paul and I had the opportunity to go to the Purposes and Required Writing, which was on Friday, pretty early, I think. And that one had a lot of big people in it. Kathleen Yancey was in it, Bazerman was in it, and then Douglas Hesse was in it. And that was kind of a cool panel just because of the, you know, these are people who are really big scholars and really well known, and they were all kind of talking about a topic that was pretty interesting and that I hadn't heard anybody else at the conference talk about. But more than anything that they were saying in particular, I found that was a panel where there was a lot of people. And so all the tables in the ballroom were filled, and then mm-hmm. people were sitting on the ground, and people were sort of like coming and going throughout the entire panel, which I found really interesting. And so that was sort of unexpected for me. I was sitting on the ground, and so like I couldn't really see people's PowerPoints. so, you know, things that you don't normally think about. But they were awesome. They try to get more chairs in there, and the hotel was also really accommodating, and it was just really cool to sort of put some faces to those names that are really mm-hmm. big within the field.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, what stuck out most was the workshop I went to on Wednesday, which was it was critical sound play and audio composing workshop, and just to have the opportunity to, and I'm not saying all panels are like this, but to engage a bit more in mm-hmm. kind of a space that's set up for play, and to be able to kind of just work through ideas with people who are super smart and know what they're doing. Stephen Hammer had some cool stuff about file formats and the ethics and the politics of MP3s and how they encode don't really account for certain sounds. Trisha Campbell did some cool stuff with voice and embodiment. Just to be able to play around with audio as a means of writing and as a means of inquiry, I thought was really cool.
So we were thinking, since we all sort of had different experiences and some overlap, maybe we could finish up with some sort of advice for future attendees and presenters.
Mm-hmm. I think I kind of got at, not feeling really like obligated, like nobody's feelings were hurt when I didn't go to their panel, and some of the panels I went to, I mean, people were appreciative, but it was also like I sort of had a moment where it was like I didn't really need to be here. There were plenty of other people, like people who engaged with it, because that was, you know, they're there for the topic more than sort of for the presenter. So while I mean all of the panels, like all of the speakers I sort of went to for were great. My advice is to kind of look for panels that it looks like more of a whole panel, if possible, is really kind of what you're interested in doing, and or is, like, somebody that you don't already know and would maybe like to try and make a connection to or network with or draw from. Because I think I just didn't do that much this year, and that was part of the learning experience for me.
Yeah, and I think sort of along those lines also is look at the program ahead of time. So are only, I think, 15 minutes between panels, mm-hmm. and that's not very much time for you to be able to grab a drink, go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. and figure out where you're going next. So if you know ahead of time, if there's a panel that you really want to go to, and even if you can sort of even check out the rooms or sort of have a general idea of where the rooms are ahead of time, that really helps, so you have a little bit of time to take care of yourself and whatever else needs to happen in between sessions rather than scrambling to try to figure out where to go next.
Mm-hmm. My takeaway would be to go to things that are just kind of not, how do I say, go to things that aren't super relevant to what you're doing, and that seems counterintuitive, but I think you never really know what sorts of kind of overlaps or continuities or points of intersection you might find. I went to a panel on post-humanist rhetoric, right? And it's like, I've read nothing about post-humanism, but mm-hmm. it got me thinking about certain ways that we communicate, right? And at least it's jogging my thinking in a way that I wouldn't have otherwise known.
Yeah, and my advice would be to find ways to make the conference small. So for me, that's always been going to workshops where you get to have hands-on working with people for an extended period of time. Going to things like the SIGs, the special interest groups during the evenings, have always been really good. Signing up for the CWPA mentorship, getting a mentor, meeting with your mentor, doing things like when I first went to Indianapolis, taking advantage of like the newcomer status and then mm-hmm. going to like the newcomer events and meeting other fellow newcomers and learning strategies about how to navigate it. So for me, I think it's really important that CS is huge and it's really nice to find ways to actually like speak with people and mm-hmm. less listening to a panel, maybe Q&A, and then you have a rush off to the next one.
I think that's a good note to end on, Bruce. So I just wanted to say thanks for listening to our CS recap. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.